We started this whole show with one question. If something went wrong tonight, truly wrong, the kind where you can't fix it by morning, who would be at your door in 2 hours? Not who would you call, who would actually come? We spent 4 episodes looking at how to grow that number, how to tend the people in your life so the list gets longer and the bonds get real. But tonight, I want to go the other direction. Past the list, all the way down to the center. Because there's something different about the very inner ring, the one or two people who wouldn't even ask what happened before they said, "I'm coming." Danny knows what I mean. He's a veteran. I know, in his 40s now, quiet in the way people get when they've seen things. He'll tell you he has a decent number of people who'd help him out. But he's got exactly 2 who'd come at 2 in the morning with no questions. Just, "I'm on my way." He says those 2 aren't his closest friends because he got lucky and met them. He says it's because of what they went through together, what it cost both of them to stay. So this last episode is about that, the people at the very center of your jar, and how a bond gets deep enough to hold that kind of weight. Here is Book 5's answer, and it's quietly demanding. The people at the very center of your jar, the ones who'd come no matter what, they are not the ones you got lucky and stumbled into. They are the ones you, and they, paid for, over time, in a currency that cannot be faked. Call it costly presence. The friend who drove 4 hours at night just to sit with you. The one who stayed in the waiting room when there was nothing to do but wait, and it cost them their whole evening, and they stayed anyway. The promise that meant something, because it wasn't easy to keep. This is the opposite of cheap closeness. The easy text, the "we should catch up some days" that never becomes a day. Cheap closeness feels good in the moment, and builds nothing you can lean your full weight on. A bond that holds is made of moment after moment, where one person gave the other their real time, their real self, their showing up, when not showing up, would have been so much easier. That's not something you find. That's something you make, the slow way, the costly way. And the hard and hopeful thing is that both people have to pay in. The bond Danny has with his 2, he didn't just receive it. He showed up for them too, in the moments that cost him. Here's something that might not surprise you, but is worth saying out loud. People who study how friendships hold up over a whole lifetime have looked at what makes the difference between the bonds that go deep and the ones that eventually fade. And what they keep finding is this: it's not how often you're in touch that predicts a deep bond. It's how much real time and real effort has gone into the relationship. The moments where showing up cost you something. The bonds that hold in a crisis are almost always the ones with the most history of that kind of presence behind them. Not the most texts. Not the most years on paper. The most moments of actually being there when it was hard to be there. And there's something else in those findings that I think matters even more. The quality of the time doesn't come from grand occasions, from the big trip, the big party, the milestone moment. It comes from the small moments where you stayed a little longer than you had to, showed up a little earlier than was easy, told the truth a little more plainly than felt safe. Those quiet moments, stacked up over months and years, are what the bond is actually made of. That's what people point to when they try to explain why someone is there too, not the extraordinary day. The ordinary day where the other person just kept showing up. That finding matters because it means depth isn't a personality gift. It doesn't go to the naturally warm person or the one with the most time. It goes to whoever made the most costly moves. And that is something you can choose to do, one move at a time. Now there is a real worry here, and it's not a small one. You show up, you drive the distance, you make the costly move. and the person on the other side doesn't do the same for you. Maybe they're grateful, maybe they're not, but they're not building something with you. They're just on the receiving end, and nothing flows back. I'm not going to wave that away because it's the thing that stops good people from going deep with anyone. And the answer is not to give in order to see who shows up, because then you're not actually giving, you're running a test, and people feel the difference. The answer is something quieter than that. It's this: you cannot make someone meet you at the center. What you can do is be honest with yourself about whether the energy is moving both ways over time, not after one hard night. Over time. A bond where only one person ever pays in will tell you that, slowly and clearly, if you're watching. And when it does, you don't punish the other person. You simply keep most of your costly moves for the people where it does go both ways. The ones who show up for you when it costs them. That's how you find the center of your own jar, not by testing, but by paying attention, honestly, over time. Here's the turn, and it's the one I most want you to sit with. Everything we've said so far, costly presence, building depth, paying in, it's been about who is at the center of your jar. But I want you to flip it for a second. Because there is someone, right now, who is thinking of you the way you are thinking of your two. Someone whose jar has your name in the middle of it. Someone who would drive that distance for you, who has driven it already maybe, and who's showing up you may have received without fully knowing what it meant, that they were making a costly move for you. Take a breath and think about who that is, not who you'd want it to be. Who has actually been there at the cost of something more than once? That person, that name, is the place where this gets real. Because here's what's true. You cannot choose to be someone's center by wanting it. You can only build your way there, one costly move at a time. And if someone is already building their way to the center of yours, the most important thing you can do is notice it and go the same direction. Not out of keeping score, because that's how two ordinary people make something that holds a life. The whole show has had one jar at its center, a jar that everyone fills, a jar that holds a whole circle of people. But here's the thing about a jar. It has a center, and the center is different from the edges. The people at the edges of your jar are real. They matter. The egg lady on one side, the bowl maker on the other, the neighbor who stepped up once, they're part of what holds the jar going. You need them. You couldn't run the flow without them, but the center is something else. The center is the ones whose names you hear in your own head when things get quiet, the ones you'd call first, the ones who feel the weight of things with you, not just around you. The ones where you can say something half-finished and they already know where you're going with it. Here's a way to feel the difference. The people at the edge of your jar, you'd help them and you'd be glad to. The people at the center, you'd help them and barely think of it as helping. It would just be, of course, I'm there. That feeling of course, is what costly presence, built up over years, actually feels like from the inside. It doesn't feel like sacrifice anymore. It just feels like what you do. Every single person in a full, healthy circle still has a center, and the center is not crowded. It's usually one. Maybe two. Sometimes, if you're very lucky and you built very hard, three. Danny has two. That's enough. That is, in fact, everything. The whole work of this show, give first, start the flow, build friendships on purpose, tend the circle. All of it points here, to the one or two names that are worth paying the most costly price for and who are paying it for you. So here is your one thing this week, and I want to say clearly what it is and what it isn't. It is not figure out who your two are and grade yourself. It is not make a list of people and decide who makes the cut. This week is a give, not a grade. Think of the one name, the person you'd most want at your center, or who you suspect already is, or who you think of when things get hard. And this week, go be there for them in a way that costs you something small. Not a grand gesture. Not a speech. Just show up when it's a little inconvenient. Take the call you'd have let go. Make the drive you'd have put off. Say the plain thing. I was thinking of you. I'm one of your people. Because here's what's true and simple. A no matter what bond is built one costly showing up at a time. You don't announce it. You don't declare it. You just do the next costly thing, and then the next. And one day, years from now, that person knows, without either of you ever having to say it plainly, that you are one of their two. Go do one costly thing this week. That's the whole task. And so, here we are, the end of the show, and in some ways, the end of a question. We started with one quiet test. Who would be at your door in 2 hours? And we found that if the number was small, that was never a verdict. It was only a shape that had gotten thin. And then, one episode at a time, we looked at how a shape like that fills. You give first, and the flow starts. You build friendships on purpose, one small move at a time. You start being someone's name before you ever ask anyone to be yours. You tend the circle. And then, past all of that, you go to the very center. You find the one or two who are worth the most costly showing up, and you be that for them. Not because you've earned it. Not because you're keeping score, because that's the kind of life that holds when things go hard. That's what the whole show is about. Not a longer list. A deeper center. You're never meant to grade your number. You were meant to grow it, and the way you grow it is to go be someone else's, watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you in the next show.